What is that?
Retreat for youth.
For the youth? Okay, if you want to go on a retreat for youth, get with Pam. She'll tell you. Yeah, we went to cook dinner last night, and it's been so crazy. She's like, well, we have two eggs. Okay. Well, we could cook pancakes. Great. Oh, we have no milk. Okay. Well, let's do it with water. Okay. So, you know, waterless, eggless pancakes, this is what it creates. So don't do it. It's dangerous. So, you know, we have been talking about what happens when we become overwhelmed. We've been talking a lot about trying to find the missing pieces of the puzzles in our life. I didn't know that this, sometimes the fall helps us learn how to get back up. I didn't know that this was actually going to be a learning lesson for me. You know, I walked out this back door the other day because Arnold was cooking and they were all cleaning up and they left. Well, there's a little orange fence there that y'all have seen. What I've learned is what you push down comes back up. I put my foot on it, and I pushed it down. Got across okay, but I did not think that when you put the other foot up, that this gate comes back up this way. Thank God for soft grass, that's all I can tell you. And I got to tell you, when you fall down, it hurts. And the second day, it hurts even worse. So this lesson is really a reality in some ways for me. Amen. But here's what I want us to learn about is sometimes the fall that we all take in our life helps us to truly learn how to get back up. Life is tough. Life is difficult. And I want to tell you a story about the giraffe. I don't know if you've ever heard. When a giraffe is born, that giraffe, the baby, literally has to fall about 10 feet. And that baby falls on its back. And there that baby lays. So that's his first picture of the world is, boom, and he falls down. The mom, just like that picture, she'll turn around and look at the baby. Well, the baby's there kind of struggling a little bit, still has all the birth stuff around it, so mom kind of helps it a little bit. And then she looks at that baby again. Baby just kind of sitting there. And then all of a sudden, it says that the mother will take the hoof and go, pow, and literally send the calf rolling across the floor. Well, we would think, whew, that's pretty brutal for mom to do. But the baby is over there, and now it struggles. If it still doesn't get up, the mother goes to the baby again, pow, and makes the baby roll again. And then she'll sit there and look at that calf for a little bit, and then all of a sudden the calf begins to very wobbly get back up, and you think, wow, he finally is there. Only for the mother to go over and kick the calf down again. And now the calf has to struggle to get back up. Well, if we look at it, we really do look that that's pretty hard and pretty harsh. But the reason that the mother does that is that that calf will not survive in the jungles of Africa, where most of those are, because they don't know how to get up. And when a calf is in that situation, it is important for them to learn how to get up and to get up in a hurry so they can run from the enemy. Well, you think about our own personal life. Not a person in this room hasn't been knocked down. And we've all said the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that a Christian gets back up. The non-Christian just decides to lie there and go, okay, you know, here is where we are. I want you to look at Genesis 37. We're going to talk a little bit about Joseph today. Now, if you've ever had anybody in Scripture that you could really look at who's been knocked down over and over and over, it was Joseph. It says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a very colored tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of the other brothers, so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Now, just think about Joseph, the struggles that he had in his life, where the brothers knew that he was the most loved son of all. It says, come now and let us reason together. The Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I want us to understand in our personal lives that you and I have been given a coat just like Joseph. We have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. All of our sins have been just clean, like we're wearing a white piece of wool. And God loves us. When we go into the world, God would say, I love my child right there. Amen. Well, I got to tell you, the world doesn't like that at all. Amen. So here's the first point that I want you to look at today. When you fall, and you will, and when you are getting back up, never, ever forget that you belong to the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. So when God looks at us, he sees us through the eyes of Christ. Now again, Joseph had a coat of many colors, something that his father gave to him, and you and I have been washed through the blood of Jesus Christ, something that our father gave to us. Satan hates us, and Satan wants us on the ground, but again, what's important is when we fall, and we will, never forget who you belong to, and that you are a child of the Most High God. You have been born to be a reigning member of God's family, and candidly, we need to take our place. Now, in Genesis 37 and 18, there's a plot against Joseph. When they saw him from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. Now, how do you like that, that you've got a family member who is upset at you because daddy loves you more than anybody else? You're just the child. You're doing what dad tells you to do. You go out to find your brothers, and they are plotting to kill you. Okay, let's put it in today's culture. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. See, we're no different than Joseph. You know, God tells us to go into the world. God tells us to do certain things. And when we start doing what God says, he goes, that one right there and that one right there and that one right there, they belong to Jesus. And my task is to kill and steal and destroy. He's going to knock you down. Now, we might go, no, you're going to get knocked down in life. That's just a part of life. But what you and I need to remember when we're on the ground, okay, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. But my God, but my God, has come to give me life. And he came to give it to me in abundance. And even though you got to crawl on your knees and pull yourself back up, you can stand strong because of Christ. Amen. Yesterday was a crazy day for Pam and I because, you know, we were wrapping one of the vehicles because it was going to freeze. And, you know, I'm out there wrapping the vehicles, and all of a sudden I look and the wind is blown and it rips the whole side of the molding on the side of my mom's house off. It's all gone, and it was laying on the ground. And it was only by the grace of God, because I picked it up and almost hit the electrical line when I had lifted it up. And I put it on the ground, and then we go in the house, and our faucet is like this. You know, it wiggles back and forth, and there's not a man here that hadn't tried to climb under the cupboard. They don't make them suckers big enough for anybody, but to climb under there to start working on it. And I finally got it fixed. And then Pam turns on the TV. Well, TV doesn't work because our receiver's been fried, because I guess, you know, it was like, okay, whatever, you know. Satan wants us down, you know. And even though I only got pancakes and one egg last night, you know, it's okay. Because of that goofy cake, Arnold, that you brought the other day, okay? Because I ate some of that stuff that was left. Boy, it was good, too, I got to tell you. So, but the thing that's important for us is Satan wants you and me down, but Peter says this. When we're down on the ground, he says, be sober spirit. Mm-hmm. Oh, be on the alert. For one reason, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Well, if you stay right there, you're going to get eaten up. And sometimes we have to crawl back up to the top and pull yourself up, even though it hurts, because if you stay where you are, Satan's going to keep you right there. In Ephesians 6 and 12, it says, for our struggle, and we all struggle, and we will all struggle in our life, but it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, I know that there's not one family member in this room that has ever fought with one another. I mean, everybody here lives at total peace with their spouse, okay? We love our kids. We've never had a struggle with our kids, our employers. Everything is great. You know, this church is different, Leon, than most people. We don't struggle. But in all honesty, the thing about it is, when we struggle, you know, it is not against us. It's against the powers and the rulers and the world forces of darkness. It's against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly place that really just wants to put their foot on us to go, no, that's where you're going to stay. Well, you know, you have two choices. Either you can kick his foot off and get back up, or go, I surrender. But if there's anybody that you and I need to have total submission to and total surrender to, is the Lord. Because the Bible says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And again, you just got to crawl yourself back up, because God wants us to be the reigning members of his family. So here's point two. When you fall, never forget who you're fighting against. You know, if we look at Satan in the natural, Satan's going to win. If you try to fight him in the natural, Satan's going to win. And the only way that you and I can fight him is in a spiritual way, because it's a spiritual fight. And the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. You know, you can't put on one piece. You need the whole piece. So you and I, when Satan knocks us down, and again, he will, you and I climb back up, but you climb back up by quoting the Word of God. Greater is he that's in me. Get out of the way, Satan. Or God has given me the authority. Get out of the way, Satan. But you and I have got to sometime claw to get back up where we need to be in our life. Now again, in Genesis 37, it says, Judah said to his brother, what profit is it to kill our brother and then cover up his blood. Come, he says, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay a hand on him, for he is our brother, he's our own flesh, and his brothers listened to him. Now in John 15 and 19, it says, if you were of the world loves its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because the world hates you. You know, you and I've got to understand every day that the closer we get to glory, the closer we get to Christ coming back, the more the world's going to hate a Christian. And the harder the world is going to try to knock the Christian down. And the challenge for us is, if the world hated Jesus, then you got to understand the world hates you and me too. And you and I have to understand that Christ went to the cross so that we were no longer victims, but you and I are victors because of what Christ accomplished on that cross. Yes, the world hated him, and yes, the world hates us, but our God is greater than anything the world has to offer. Matthew 26 and 15 says, what are you willing to give me to betray him to you? And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. You know, I got to tell you this, that point three is a reality today, is that when you fall, never forget that the world will sell you and sell you out for 30 pieces of silver. You know, the world will look at you and see that you're nothing. And it's really sad that that's where we are today. And if we hang on to that mindset, then we will always be victims. But you see, you got to look at yourself to go, well, maybe the world will sell me out for 30 pieces of silver, but my daddy sent his son to die on the cross for me, and I'm a whole lot more expensive than 30 pieces of silver. My daddy died, and I got all the promises that he's given to Abraham. I am a one in a million. I am worth something. I am the child of the Most High God. And, you know, you're going to have to sometimes quote this stuff over and over and over, not because God wants to hear it, but because you need to remember who you are in Christ. We have been crucified in Christ, and the life that we live is no longer our life, but Christ lives in us. And if Christ lives in us, then again, who could ever be against us? And never let anybody tell you that you're not worth something. Tell them I'm worth a whole lot because my daddy died for me. Now, Genesis 40 says, only keep in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness. Now, Joseph at this point in time has been thrown in prison. There is a cupbearer, there's a baker, they both have dreams, and Joseph interprets the dream. So he says, after he's interpreted the dreams, he says, only keep in mind when it goes well with you. And please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing that should have put me into this dungeon. Now, there's a statement in here that's important, is that Joseph is asking one of those gentlemen, don't forget who I am. Have kindness with me. Remember me. Now, Psalms 18 and verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock, and the Lord is my fortress, and the Lord is my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I'm going to take my refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. See, we don't need to remember anything except who our rock is. We need to remember who our fortress is and who our stronghold is. Again, the world wants you down, and if you don't have something to pull yourself back up, And if you don't have something to stand upon, then you're going to sink. Psalms 27 said, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now think about that for a moment. You know, when life gets you down, when you just want to give up, all of a sudden, if you begin to quote Psalms 27, and I love the verse, I would have despaired. I would have given up. I would have just gone, okay, let's call it quits, unless I would have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means right now we would give up. But it says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. And then it says, yes, just wait for the Lord. You know, what's the Bible say when you've done everything that you know how to do? What are we to do?
Stand.
Just stand. You know, the other day when I fell down and I went over and Pam was over there, it was like a kid coming to his mommy. Like, I fell down. You know, and she was like, okay, you know. And then I turned around and she went, yeah. Yeah, it's like, suck it up, buttercup, you know, it's okay. So I turned around and she went, oh, you really did fall down. Yeah, my keys were muddy, my ring you couldn't see, my watch had mud on it, and I won't tell you what was back here, okay? But the thing about it is that, you know, we have to wait on the Lord. We have to be strong, and sometimes it's difficult to just climb back up to the top. You know, Phyllis Williams' mom went home to be with the Lord Monday?
Wednesday.
It's hard. We were talking about it a minute ago. You know, my mom and I were like oil and water, but boy, I miss her. I'd love to fight with her one more time, you know. But it's difficult, and the world wants to knock Phyllis down. But I know Phyllis good enough. She's going to claw her way back up. The world ain't going to keep her down. She's going to quote the Word of God. She's going to get in Satan's face. She's going to get ignorant with him. But she's going to be no longer a victim. She'll be a victor because of that right there.
Amen.
Now, here's point four. When you fall, never put your trust in people. You know, only put your trust in the Lord. You know, one of the greatest challenges for us, and we've talked about it and we've joked about it, but it's a reality. And I've told you about the book, Search for Significance. And that book truly is that, you know, when we're in trouble, we call somebody who's a friend, a family, and normally they have more problems than you and I do. And then we take their advice, you know. And I'm telling us today, when you fall down and you're really struggling, never, ever put your trust in people, because people will let you down. But we have a God that will never let you down. We have a God that will always raise you up to where you need to be. In Genesis 39 and 2, it says the Lord was with Joseph. So he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. In Deuteronomy 28, it says, these are the blessings that will come upon us. And I know that it's an Old Testament passage, but it talks about blessings and it talks about curses. You and I can never be cursed again because of a child, as a child of God, because Christ became the final curse. But you and I can be blessed in so many different ways if you and I would just do and be obedient to the Lord. Our God will do more for you and me, the Bible says, than we could ever ask or ever think in our life. And, you know, it talks about that no matter what you touch, it's going to prosper. And that God will fill our storehouses, that's plural. He will fill them till they're overflowing. Psalms 23 says that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and it talks about how he will prepare a table for you and me in the presence of our enemies. He will anoint our head with oil, church, and our cup overflows with all of the blessings that our God has given to you and to me. Now think about this. They plotted to kill Joseph. He was then thrown into a very large hole, and he would have never gotten out. An animal would have gone down there and ate him for supper. He was sold. He was lied about. He was placed into prison. But no matter where he was, no matter what he was going through, no matter his circumstances, and no matter his situation, whatever he did, he prospered. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I'm with you. And do not anxiously look around about you, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, and surely I'm going to help you." And I love this, "And surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Here's the other point. When you fall, always remember that he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, and he will always lift you back up. You know, sometimes when we're down, we're like, "I don't know what to do." Turn to the Lord. "Gosh, I don't know where to go." Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. And if you look, you got a Lord that's got his hand right here going, "Let me help you back up to where you need to be in your life." In Genesis 41, it says, "So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has informed you of all of this,'" this is a place now where he has interpreted a dream for Pharaoh. And the dream is that they're going to have 7 years of prosperity. They're going to have 7 years of famine. And Joseph says, "You need to appoint somebody, you know, that can take care of this and run this." And this is Pharaoh's conversation with Joseph. But he says, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and so wise as you. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all of my people shall do homage. Only in the throne will I be greater than you." And what he's telling him, he says, all of my people will respect you. You have to respect the throne because I'm putting you to a place of honor. Proverbs says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord. Now listen to that. He didn't say when it's pleasing to your employer. It didn't say if it's pleasing to the world. It didn't say if it was pleasing to the neighbor. It says when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he will make even his enemies have peace with him. Point six, when you fall and you feel like giving up, when your ways are pleasing to the Lord, he will even make your enemies have favor with you. Think about going to work and your boss is having a hard time. Please the Lord. If you're having issues at home, please the Lord. If you're having issues anywhere, please the Lord. And the Lord is the one who will make your enemies have favor with you. And in Genesis 45, then Joseph said to his brothers, think about this. The brothers were the ones that threw him into the hole. The brothers were the ones that sold him. The brothers were the ones that plotted against him. The brothers did everything that they could do to mess him over and knock him down. Well, think about the journey that he took. Think about the journey that some of y'all are taking now, about the challenges that you're having in your life. Maybe your spouse is left. Maybe y'all are fighting with each other. Maybe, like, you know, we've got people that are sick. Maybe some have gone home to be. Just think about the journey that you've gone through. But it says, then Joseph said to his brothers. Now, the brothers are coming. You know, they're wanting something to eat. You know, they had to bring stuff to the storehouse. Now, all of a sudden, they haven't seen their brother. They don't know if he's alive or dead. And can you only imagine the one that you plotted against is now the one that's standing in front of you? But it says, please, come closer to me. That would scare you right there to go, yeah, a little bit closer. And he says, I'm your brother. I'm the one that you sold into Egypt. I ain't getting closer. I'll be backing up, okay? But he says, now do not be grieved and don't anger yourself because you sold me here. But look at what he says, for God sent me before you to preserve your life. Amen. Now begin to think about this. Genesis 50 and 20 says, as for you, oh, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring about the present result to preserve many people alive. You know, when we fall down and we get back up, sometimes, you know, when the mama giraffe does this to us, you know, we're going to stop it. But mama goes, no, I'm trying to help you. I want to take you someplace else. I want to learn you so that you can get up. I don't want the enemy to get after you. I want you to learn, get up, and get away from Satan. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know. But here's the key. Do we really know? Do we really know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose? You know, we've all gone through some tough times in our life, but if you look back through the journey, you can see how God has taken you through that journey for His purpose and for His will. Here's the last point. Always remember the importance of getting back up when you fall. Because what Satan meant for bad, God will always turn it to good. And if you don't look down and you always look up, you'll always find the right hand of righteousness that will restore you to where God wants you to be. Amen? Give God a hand clap of praise.